Okay, so we're in Perek Yud, 10th Perek of Sefer Yehoshua. Let's just last time we kind of ended with this with this nace, this tremendous miracle of Shemesh B'Givon Dome. But it was our first week back last week, not everybody was here, and it's a tremendous miracle. So let's just begin again from Pasuk Yud Beis. The backdrop of the story here in Perek Yud is that the Givonim, which was a nation that created a peace treaty with Yehoshua and his and Bnei Yisrael, even though they weren't supposed to, they tricked Bnei Yisrael into making this peace treaty, but they made a peace treaty with Bnei Yisrael. And more importantly for Perek Yud, they made a pact that that whenever, if God forbid, they would be attacked, then Bnei Yisrael would come to assist them. They were very scared of Bnei Yisrael, as many of the nations were at that time, and that was the pact that the Givonim made. Because the Givonim kind of defected from the other people, from the other nations in that area, so people were not happy with the Givonim. And Perek Yud begins with five kings: the king of Yerushalayim and the king of Yericho, and not Yericho, the king of other places of. Pasuk Gimel mentions them, Chevron, and then a bunch of names that we're not familiar with. But these five kings all got together and decided, you know what, we're going to attack the Givonim. And they came and they attacked the Givonim. And the Givonim sent a message to Yehoshua. Listen, you know, we have a deal. You have to come help us. You have to come protect us. Yehoshua comes with his army, with the soldiers and the special forces. And the Pesukim say that Yehoshua and Bnei Yisrael, they pretty much make mincemeat out of these five kings and their armies. Actually, we'll begin with Pasuk Yud Aleph, because that's miracle number one. The Pasuk says, Vayhibe Nusam Mipnei Yisrael. As these nations are fleeing from Bnei Yisrael, so Heim B'morad Beis Choron, they're on their way down to Beis Choron. V'Hashem Hishlich Aleim Avonim Gedolos Min HaShemayim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, all of a sudden, the skies open and these large stones, like hail, these large hailstones start falling from the Shemayim, from the heavens, ad Azekah, until the point of Azekah, v'yamusu rabim ha-shemesu be'avnei abarad, me'asher hargu b'nei yisrael be'charev. And the Navi tells us that even more people were killed with these large hailstones than with the actual war, than with the actual sword. So it's an amazing miracle. Obviously, the miracle was out of nowhere. There were very large stones, as we discussed last week, which was miraculous in and of itself. And also, we discussed that this was a battlefield. It wasn't like these Gentile nations were running away and Bnei Yisrael were chasing them from behind. This was a battlefield. All the Jews and the Gentiles were all mixed up. They were fighting each other, and the hailstones would fall and knock these people on the head, and the Jew that was standing right next to him, you know, wasn't affected. So we said it's similar to the Nisim of Mitzrayim, you know, the Makos of Mitzrayim, where the Makos would affect the Egyptians and not the Jews, even though they were right in proximity of each other. But that was an incredible nace. Then we have Pasuk Yud Beis, which is the beginning of the next nace, which is really the more famous nace. Oz Yedaber Yehoshua LaHashem B'Yom Teis Hashem Es Ha'emori Lifnei Bnei Yisrael. That this is what Yehoshua said to Hashem on the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu delivered the Amori before the Jewish people, and the Amori is the main nation that they are fighting right now. Vayomer La'enei Yisrael, and he said before the entire nation of Klal Yisrael, Shemesh B'Givon Dom V'Yareach Be'emek Ayalon, that the sun should dome. Literally, we said last week, literally dome means to wait or to be quiet. And essentially, as the Mefarshim say, what Yehoshua was commanding was that the Shemesh, the sun, should stop in its tracks. And as we know, right, the sun doesn't move, we move, but this was, you know, from our perception, right, from people's perception, the sun should stop mid-sky, it should stop in its tracks, and the moon, which the Mefarshim say had already begun to rise, the moon should also stop where it is. And Pashup Shat, this would allow the Jewish people the Jewish army, to continue defeating the Gentile nation, and they wouldn't be stopped or somehow impeded by darkness. As we know, it's harder to fight when it's dark, so that's what Yehoshua was worried about. They wouldn't be able to finish the job once it got dark. So this way, the sun stayed out, and this was an incredible miracle. We spoke about last week, the many of the Mefarshim say that Shemesh B'Givon Dome, the dome also means to be silent. How, in what way was there silence here? And this was a beautiful Rashi, where Rashi says it's not the Pashup Shad, but it's based on the Medrash, that Yehoshua essentially commanded the sun and the moon to cease their singing of Shira. How did the sun and the moon cease their singing of Shira? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations do what He ordained that they do, when the sun rises and the sun sets, when the moon comes up when it's supposed to, and then the moon is invisible when it's supposed to go away, that itself is singing Shira. Right? When HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creations are doing what they're supposed to be doing, that's singing Shira. You see the beauty of the Bria of Hashem, you see the beauty of nature that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created, that's singing Shira. So when Yahushua said He wants the sun to stop and He wants the moon to stop, that was in essence ceasing the Shira. Right? That would be a cessation of an incredible Shira of singing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's praises. So that was Shemesh B'Givon Dom. I want you to be silent, meaning I want you to stop singing Shira. How could He do that? How could He take that Shira out of the world? So the Mefarshim say that was Oz Yedaber Yehoshua, that Yehoshua filled the shoes, the emptiness, the void of that Shira, that Yehoshua Himself sang Shira. Many of them mention the words that we say in the Torah, Oz Yashir Moshe, that Moshe sang his Shira. So here too you have similar words, Oz Yedaber Yehoshua. Not exactly the same words, but this Dibor was in essence some sort of a Shira, and that's what Yehoshua was doing. We mentioned last week the Malbim at length. The Radak also discusses this, but the Malbim at length says that this miracle of Shemesh B'Givon Dom is actually alluded to in the Torah, not explicitly, but it's alluded to in Parshas Kisisa in Sefer Shemos, where the Torah says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hinei Anochi Koreis Baris, I'm going to make a covenant with you, I'm going to make a pact with you, Neged Kol Amcha E'eseh Nifla'os, that I'm going to do it before the eyes of all of your people, which alludes to that passage that we just had, La'enei Yisrael, I'm going to do wonders, Asher Lo Nivru V'chol Ha'aretz V'chol Hagoyim, right, that were never in existence, and these wonders never happened before, in all the lands and all the nations. These are familiar psukim. We name these psukim in Parshas Vayechal on a Tainis, and also we said it's incredible because if you look at the next pasuk there, what does it say? Shemar lacha eis asher anochi nitzavcha hayom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, keep what I'm telling you today. Hinini goresh mipanecha. I'm going to drive out from before you which nations? The first one mentioned, Es Ha'emori. First one mentioned is the Amori nation, which is this nation that right now Yehoshua is fighting against, the Amorim. So we see that this is hinted to in the Torah, this exact nation. And the Malbim speaks about that at length. We spoke about it last week. And then Pasuk Yud Gimel, Vayidom, and this is a little bit where we left off last week, Vayidom HaShemesh, that it taka happened. Yehoshua said it, and it happened. Vayidom HaShemesh, V'yareach Amar, right? So the sun... the sun was silent and the moon stood still. And again, you see the difference in language between the sun and the moon. Right? When it comes to the sun, we say Vayidom. When it comes to the moon, we say Amar. Right? So, I was just thinking to myself, why the difference in language? So, in essence, we know that the moon doesn't have its own light. The moon only reflects the light of the sun. Right? So, perhaps when we're talking about the cessation of Shira, that's really in the realm of the sun. Right? When the sun stops, that stops the Shira, because the sun is really the cause of all the Shira. Meaning, even when you see the moon, you're really seeing the reflection of the sun. So the sun is really the goring, the sun is really the cause of this singing of Shira in the Bria, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's world. And therefore that's perhaps why it says Vayidom when it comes to the sun, and not when it comes to the moon, because the moon is really only reflecting that of the sun. But V'yareach Aman, but still from man's perception, the moon still did stay still. So that's why it says Amad when it comes to the moon, but perhaps that's why it says Vayidom only when it comes to the sun. And they stood still, Ad Yikom Goy Oivav, until the point where the nation, meaning Bnei Yisrael, was enabled to take revenge, to avenge this attack by their enemies. Halohi Chesuva al Sefer HaYashar, it's written in the Sefer HaYashar, and many of the Mefarshim say the Sefer HaYashar is a reference to the Torah. As we just mentioned, these psukim are alluded to, this nes and the battle is alluded to in the Torah. Vayamon HaShemesh B'chatzi HaShamayim, and it tells you now, the pasuk tells you now where the sun stopped. The sun stopped, literally, right, mid-sky. It was almost like at noon. Velo atzlavo kiyom tamim, and it did not hurry to set for an entire day. Kiyom tamim, an entire day, a 24-hour period. Pashup shot is that this happened for 24 hours, and fascinating. The we don't think about this necessarily when we see the psukim, and this is one of those examples where you read a Rashi in Chumash and you kind of gloss over it. And then you read the Navi and you say, wait a minute, you know, there's a Rashi and Chumash about this. But the Rashi here actually in Navi, on this Pasuk in Navi, says that this miracle of Vayidom HaShemesh, of Shemesh B'Givon Dom, so this miracle is actually alluded to in another Pasuk, in the Torah. What's the other Pasuk in the Torah? So in Bereishis, we know we have Parshas Vayechi, but Sefer Bereishis, at the end of Sefer Bereishis, Parshas Vayechi, we know we have this famous story of Yosef and his sons, right? So Yosef and his sons, and he's bringing them to his father for a bracha. I'm sorry, not in Parshas Vayechi. It's earlier. It's in Parshas. Vayigash is in Vayigash. Is it in Vayechi? The beginning of Vayechi. It's not Vayigash. Okay, so maybe it's the beginning of Vayechi. So Yosef brings his two sons, Ephraim and Menashe, to his father Yaakov for a bracha, and we all know the story that situates Menashe to Yaakov's right and Ephraim to Yaakov's left. After all, Menashe is the Bechor, and we all know that Yaakov crosses his hands and he puts his right hand on Ephraim's head and his left hand on Menashe's head. Yosef tries to correct him and says, "Lo chein avi, right? This you're making a mistake. Your right hand should go on Menashe's head because he's the Bechor." And what is his father's response? Listen to the words. Vayima'ein aviv. Right, his father refuses. Yaakov says, he puts his foot down. He says, I know what I'm doing. Yadati v'ni yadati. He says, I know exactly what I'm doing. I know who Menashe is. I know who Ephraim is. I know I'm putting my right hand on Ephraim's head. Gam hu yihye la'om v'gam hu yigdol. Menashe, the Bechor. He's also going to be a great, he's going to become a great nation. And he's going to become have great descendants. V'ulam, however, achiv hakaton yigdal mimenu. His younger brother, Ephraim, is going to end up being greater. His descendants will end up being greater. Vizar'o yihiyem melo hagoyim. And his descendants will fill the nations. Rashi, in Bereishis, on that Pasuk, says, what are these words referring to? Vizar'o yihiyem melo hagoyim. That his descendants, Ephraim's descendants, will fill the nations. What's that referring to? Says Rashi, listen to the language, kol ha'olam yismalei. The entire world will fill up. Vitzeis Shamo, when his reputation precedes him. Okay, who are we talking about? Kishayamid Chama beGivon veYareach beEmek Ayalon. When the sun stops in Givon and the moon in Emek Ayalon, right? Ephraim's descendant. Who are we talking about? Yehoshua, right? Yehoshua ben Nun was from Shevet Ephraim. So here already Yaakov beRuach Kodesh, right? Yaakov was already alluding to the greatness of Ephraim, right? Perhaps even the thrust of Ephraim's greatness down the line was going to be Yehoshua, and not just Yehoshua, but this miracle. This is the miracle that the Rashi says, the Chazal say, Yaakov was alluding to when he switched his hand and put his right hand on Ephraim's head. So again, we learned the Chumash, we all know the story. You know, most of us are probably not familiar with Rashi's comment here, but once we see the Navi, and we see the story in Navi, and now we look back at the Chumash and see how Chazal make the connections. All of a sudden, it's a much bigger picture, and there's something very powerful here. So, as much as Yehoshua is famous, for so many battles and all the things that he did, and all the stories in Sefer Yehoshua, this is even perhaps one of the greatest legacies of Yehoshua. This miracle that Yehoshua did, and we'll also talk about in a minute why this was so special. But this is perhaps one of the greatest, miracles that ever happened, and Yehoshua ordained this miracle, and this is his legacy. Yehoshua's reputation now precedes him. Everybody's talking about the fact that Yehoshua, essentially commanded HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu to create this tremendous miracle, and certainly was a powerful, powerful thing. It's interesting, the Al-Sheikh actually quotes a Medrash here, on this Pasuk that says that he quotes this idea, that this pasuk of Zaro Yihye Melo Agoyim is a reference to this miracle, but he says there's another story in Sefer Bereishis which also alludes to this miracle. What's that story in Sefer Bereishis? So this goes back to the story of Yosef and his brothers, right? So we all know the story of Yosef and his brothers. His brothers were jealous of Yosef. Yosef was the dreamer, and he had these two dreams. What was one of the dreams? One of the dreams was the sun and the moon. The sun and the moon bowing down to Yosef. Or the sun and the moon and 11 stars bowing down to Yosef. Okay? So most of us are familiar with the fact that the 11 stars represent the Shvatim and the Yosef's 11 brothers. And the sun and the moon, the sun represents Yaakov. And the moon represents, not, well, you know, either Rachel or Bilhah perhaps, right? But the sun, but the moon represents represents his mother or maybe Bilhah. And what's the bowing down referring to? When they came down to Mitzrayim, right, they essentially bowed down to Yosef. He was the leader of Mitzrayim. So that's when they bowed down to Yosef. But the Al-Sheikh quotes a Medrash that perhaps this pasuk or this dream was also alluding to down the line, right? Again, the Ruach HaKodesh, you know, was alluding to down the line when the sun and the moon would bow to a descendant of Yosef, Yehoshua ben Nun from Shevet Ephraim, who was the son of Yosef. So Yehoshua ben Nun was from Yosef, and here you have the sun and the moon subjugating themselves, right? Subjugating themselves to a descendant of Yosef HaTzadik. So here the Medrash points out that this is also a kiyum of that dream. You know, this is also a fulfillment, a partial fulfillment of that dream. So we see that this is a very prominent nace. You know, this is a nace that wasn't just an amazing nace because it was fascinating and nature, you know, nature was altered and it was so strange, but it also was a fulfillment of prophecies. It was a fulfillment either of Yosef's dream, fulfillment of perhaps even Yaakov's bracha to Ephraim. But this was a fulfillment of a legacy where you have a descendant of Yosef, a descendant of Ephraim, who's accomplishing great things on behalf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay.
The sun not being there was for the entire world or just...
Good question. So it does seem that the whole world was affected, that the whole world was affected. I'll be honest, some of the Mefarshim, you know, begin to talk, they start trying to explain the science and what was going on and what was happening, and, you know, I lost me. Some of them even sound like they're talking, you know, some of the Mefarshim almost sound like, that the science that they understood at that time was that the sun revolved around the earth. But then I was doing some of the research, you know, to find out when exactly that was clarified in Galileo and Copernicus and all these things. And it seems that some of the Mefarshim should have known about some of these things. You know, the fact that was reversed. You know, heliocentrism and as opposed to egocentrism. And so it's not so clear. It's not so clear in the Mefarshim, you know, how exactly this happened. And seemingly this was something that was impacted, that was felt around the whole world, that and not just in this one location.
Just a historical side.
Yeah.
One reason why Galileo got in so much trouble with the church was because they said his teaching that the sun, that the earth revolves around the sun, is contradicting Nach.
Uh-huh.
It says in Yehoshua that the sun is not the earth.
You say this story got him into
this
trouble.
This got him into trouble.
Interesting.
And because they would have to change it, not because of their of science.
Science
would be have a higher rank than the church.
Right. Yeah, again, the way we explain this is pashut, that the way the Mefarshim always explain the Torah, the Dibra Torah Kalashim Adam, that the Torah speaks from man's perspective. So from our perspective, the sun stopped, right? I mean, even though scientifically that's not what's going on, but that's not what people see. People see the sun, stopping. Even today, right? Even in 2018, people say the sun sets, right? The sun doesn't really set. The world revolves, the earth moves, and it looks like the sun is setting. But that's, from our point, we speak the way that we perceive things. So that's the way the Navi is speaking also. So to us, it's not a contradiction. Okay. Pasuk Yedalad. Let's go to Pasuk Yedalad. V'lo haya kayom hahu lefanav ve'acharav. Says the Navi, this never ever happened. And this never happened before, and this never ever happened afterwards. Now, what never happened? There were Nisim, right? You had Nisim before, you had Nisim after. Then we have Nisim. Now we have Kriyas Yamsuf, and you have Nisim where nature was completely altered. So says the Navi, what didn't happen? Lishmoa Hashem b'kol ish. It never happened that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does a nace by man's request. That doesn't happen. Ki Hashem nilcham liYisrael. Good question. Ki Hashem nilcham liYisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a warrior for Klal Yisrael. So, okay. So it's a good. So it's, these are good questions. I was thinking about Choni Amago. So Choni Amago, the story in Tainus that there was a drought, and Choni was a big tzaddik, and they asked him to daven that there should be rain, and a whole story over there how he did it. But we know that he was the Ma'akah because he drew a circle and he stood inside of the circle and he said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm not going to move until you bring rain. HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought rain. So there perhaps though, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu did wasn't a nes. Meaning he brought rain. So rain itself is not a nes. Of course, everything in nature is a nes, right? But it's not a nes nigla. Rain is a normal part of nature. Now, he did it at the time the Choni asked for it. That was miraculous. But it wasn't that a human being demanded something supernatural to happen, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu then listened to and did. Right? Eliyahu, so what are you referring to? When the fire came down. But what did Eliyahu say? He didn't ask. He asked for a sign, if I'm not mistaken. I don't remember the exact language in the Navi, but I'm pretty sure that Eliyahu asked for a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should indicate that he was correct and not the Nevi'ei HaBaal. He didn't specifically and explicitly ask for a supernatural miracle to happen. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down fire to consume the korban, which was certainly supernatural. You know, but
he poured water on it first and dug the trench around, then poured water in the trench. It seems like he was expecting fire.
He was expecting something supernatural. Right. But I guess still, it wasn't exactly this type of thing where you have a human being who, I mean, Yeshua said, Shemesh begivon dom. Right? You know, Yeshua, you know, he was rolling a big die, Yehoshua. You know, obviously not, because he had bitachon and Hashem. He knew that. First of all, Yehoshua knew that the Torah alluded already to a supernatural miracle in this context. Yehoshua knew what was going on, and therefore he felt the confidence that he could say this. But you know, for a person to have to be on the Madrega, to be able to say, you know, okay, you know, Kadosh Baruch, you have to do this supernatural miracle, and it happens. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, right? Think about it. Moshe Rabbeinu, it never happened. Moshe Rabbeinu never, many, many miracles happened to Moshe Rabbeinu, but they were all ordained by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where sometimes you find a Navi davening for something and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring a nes. Right? That's another thing that they point out also, that you find sometimes Nevi'im davening and Hashem bringing a nes. Yehoshua didn't daven here. Pasuk says, Oz Yidaber Yehoshua. He said something. Right? It was almost like Kabi Yochel, like he was commanding HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You can't even say these words, you know, but it was almost like if Yehoshua was getting up and demanding from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have to bring this nes now. That never happened. Never happened in history. Never. And again, this says the Navi, never will happen again. This was a singular occurrence. Now, why Yehoshua was zochet to this is a good question. You know, why not Moshe Rabbeinu? Moshe Rabbeinu seemingly was even a greater Navi and leader than Yehoshua. Yehoshua was a great Navi and leader. But Moshe Rabbeinu was his Rebbe. You know, why didn't this happen to Moshe Rabbeinu? I'm not sure. You know, you have to think about that. Why exactly Yehoshua was the Navi that was zochet to this Madrega of being able to, so to speak, you know, demand a nes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that's what the Pasuk is saying, that this was an incredible thing. Okay, again, it's interesting. The Al-Sheikh also points out that we find other times in Chazal and in Tanakh where the sun actually also stood still. So he says, the Gemara says that it stood still for Moshe, but it's not clear. He says himself that it's not clear where this happened. The Gemara says it happened, but it doesn't say in Tanakh, it doesn't say in the Torah anywhere that Moshe, you know, caused the sun to stand still. And then the Gemara says also that Nakdimon ben Gurion asked for the sun. He also davened that the sun should stand still, and it did. But again, the Al-Sheikh points out that there he davened for it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu granted it. It's not the same as Yehoshua who demanded it. That's a different madrega, to be able to demand the nes from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Fine. And also here, the Malbim points out that here the essence of this nes is to show Ki Hashem Nilcham LiYisrael. To show that Hashem is the one fighting for Klal Yisrael. Other nisim that we find, either you have a nes that's saving Klal Yisrael, so let's say the Eser Makos, for example, or Kriyas Yamsuf, those are nisim that come to save Klal Yisrael, the nes of Hanukkah. You know, different nisim. You know, that the small army was able to defeat the large Greek army. These are nisim, but they're nisim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to save Klal Yisrael. And the Malbim points out, sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu will do nisim to be marbe kvot shamayim, so that people recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's might, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's power, His glory in the world. Sometimes that will be the purpose of Nisim. But this also was a unique nes. This was really to show Hashem's military prowess. Right? And here especially, when you're coming in and Yehoshua's coming in and they're wiping out, you know, wiping out Yericho, wiping out Ai. Now they're coming and fighting against these five kings. They're really, you know, they're really coming in and showing incredible military might. So this was also, this was to show, it's not us. it's Ki Hashem Nilcham LiYisrael. Perhaps this is also a little bit why Yehoshua felt so confident in doing this, because Yehoshua knows the message Yehoshua wants to send people right now, besides for the technical aspect that Yehoshua wanted the sun to still be out so that he could go and defeat the enemy and make sure that they finish the job. That was certainly the Pashup shot of this. But Yehoshua also wanted to send a message to people that we're not fighting our own battle here. This is not the Jewish nation coming in, and like the Amorim have their, you know, their army, and Yericho has their army. You know, the Bnei Yisrael have our army. That's not what's going on here. You know, you guys all have armies. We have an army, but we have the Ribono Shel Olam behind us. You know, this is a whole different ballgame. And he was trying to send that message: Ki Hashem Nilcham LiYisrael. This is God fighting for Klal Yisrael. And I think that's the message Yeshua was trying to send, and that's why he ordained that this miracle should happen to show everybody. You know, I can't help but think about Tzahal and about the some of the miracles that you know that we've experienced from you know from the IDF, things that they've been able to do that you know incredible siyata dishmaya, where you know where they were able to you know different wars, the Six-Day War and the Yom Kippur War, you know all these wars. I mean, incredible you know miracles almost, sometimes open miracles. You know that Tzahal was able to do, and you know these words of the Navi, Ki Hashem Nilcham LiYisrael, you know, ring true in the back of your mind. You know, as the Chayalei Tzahal are going out, Ki Hashem Nilcham LiYisrael. You know, somebody sent me, and I get all these things on WhatsApp. People forward me all these cute you know things on WhatsApp. So somebody made a picture of I don't know if I mentioned this. Somebody made a picture of a bunch of Chayalei Tzahal who were sleeping. They're out in the field and they're sleeping around their tank. And there's one soldier who's perched on the top of the tank like he's the watchman. So he's watching out, and you see all the other chayalim are sleeping on the ground, and he's the lookout, sitting, you know, perched on top of the tank. And then, you know, behind this tank, there's a gigantic lion. There's like a huge lion in the picture that's just, you know, sitting, you know, resting on its paws, sitting behind the tank, you know, watching out. And you know, obviously the mashal is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that as much as, you know, we have to do our hishtadlus, just like Yehoshua did. Yehoshua had an army. You know, the Pesukim talk about it. He had Givorei HaChayil, he had special forces, he had a regular army. You know, they went in, they did battle, they did normal things, they did their hishtadlus. But at the same time, everyone recognized, Yehoshua recognized, and the army recognized, and the message they were trying to convey to all the enemies and the people they were fighting, Ki Hashem Nilcham LiYisrael, Ki Hashem Nilcham LiYisrael. So I can't guarantee that all of the officers in Tzahal are giving that message to the, you know, hopefully some of them are, but certainly we, from our perspective, have to recognize that Ki Hashem Nilcham LiYisrael. Okay, fascinating. Pasuk Tes Vav. So the pasuk says that after this, Vayoshov Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael imo el hamachane ha-Gilgala. So now the war's done, right? The sun stopped. They were able to wipe out all the enemy. They finished everybody off, and now Yehoshua and his army come back. The Ralbag points out that if you read this pasuk carefully, it says something astounding. Vayoshav Yehoshua v'chol Yisrael imo. What does that mean? Says the Ralbag.
Children. No one got hurt.
Right? There were no casualties, says the Ralbag. V'chol Yisrael imo. There were no casualties. Right? So here you have, again, this, you know, miracle upon miracle upon miracle, the hailstones and the Vayidom HaShemesh and all these miracles and other miracles, and not one Jewish soldier got hurt. Right? They wiped out the whole army, you know, the whole Amori army, and not one Jewish soldier got hurt. We see, the Malbim points out, that we'll read in a minute, that they're about to fight against, you know, in a minute, that, you know, they haven't really finished, but we'll see in a second, they're going to go and try to find the five kings, because they, you know, the five kings escaped. So they're going to go and try and find them. So why is it saying here they return to Gilgal? So essentially, they recognized, they realized that, you know, they were looking through all the corpses of all of the enemies that have been killed, and they didn't see the kings. You know, they didn't see the kings. So they recognized, the Jewish army recognized that the kings had fled. You know, the armies were you know, everybody was killed, but the kings had obviously fled. And they realized, okay, we have to finishing the job means that we got to go find these kings and kill them. They were the ones who brought their nations out to war. We can't just let them get away. So we have to find the kings and kill them. Yehoshua, interestingly, you know, the Malbim says he wanted to go back and rest. You know, they just had a long battle, you know, especially now because it was an extended battle because the sun stopped, so they had extra time to fight. So they had a long battle. Yehoshua wanted to go back and rest before they went out again to find the kings. Pasuk Tes Zayin,
find the kings because they didn't attack Bnei Yisrael.
They
attacked the Gibbon.
Correct. But again, so we're right. I mentioned this last week that the but you see the power of a Jew's word. Yehoshua and the Jewish army gave their word to the Gibbonim. right? That we're going to protect you. Now again, however you understand, you know, that they tricked them into it, they didn't trick them, whatever it was, but at the end of the day, Yehoshua and Bnei Yisrael made a pact with the Givon and they were going to protect them. So this is like you know, you fight against, you know, we have to do our job. It's almost like they're attacking us, even though they're not. And again, keep in mind, why did they attack the Givonim? They attacked the Givonim because they were making peace with the Jews. So it's not like they were just being friendly with the Jews, you know, and they wanted to attack the Givonim randomly. They were attacking the Givonim because they hated the Jews. So that's why Yehoshua and the Jewish army didn't want to let them go. So the Pasuk says in Pasuk Tes Zayin, Vayanusu Chameshes Hamelochim Ha'ele. So these five kings fled, right? They saw that the army was being totally defeated, and they fled. It sounds like they were all together, interestingly. The five kings were all together. Vayechavu Vame'ara V'makeda. Interesting, they actually hid in a cave. And the Malbim points out that this was also the Hashkachas Hashem. They could have returned to their cities. Once they return to their cities, we'll see that, you know, that the Jewish army kind of left the people alone. You know, whoever was left, a couple survivors who left and went back to their cities, they didn't really bother them. But here the Hashkacha had it that the kings did not go back to their cities. Right? They hid out in a cave. They were just running and they found an empty cave and they ran into the cave to hide. So
this miracle is so important to Hashem and to Yehoshua is because this is the first time that Bnei Yisrael, that Yehoshua is asking to do something extraordinary to keep his word to the Givonim and really not to Bnei Yisrael. So maybe he was saying to Hashem, you know, I gave my word that even though it's not, you know, it's a miracle.
It's not for us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, certainly. I think there's a lot to that. We spoke about that a little bit last week, but I think there's a lot to that. The fact that, you know, a Jew's word, you give your word, you're going to protect someone. This is serious business, you know, and it's, you don't mess around with that. So 100%. Yeah. Okay. So the Jewish army now goes out. They canvass the fields. They're trying to find these five kings and they locate them. They find them in the cave. They come back and they send a message to Yehoshua, Pasuk Yitzayim, Vayugad Yehoshua Lemor. They come back and tell Yehoshua, Nimtzu chameshes hamelachim nechbeim b'me'ara b'makeda, and they say we found these five kings and they're hiding in a cave, and they're in this place called Makeda. That's where the cave was located, and that's where they're hiding. So Yehoshua says, okay, you know, we're going to take care of them. So he doesn't just say go kill them, right? Yehoshua says pasuk yudches vayomer Yehoshua. Yehoshua says I want to, you know, like keep them in one place. Golu avonim gedolos el pi hama'ara. He says, do me a favor. Take these big boulders and roll them in front of the cave's entrance so that they're locked in, they can't get out. V'hafkidu alaha anashim l'shamram, and put soldiers there to guard them and make sure that they don't try to move the boulders. You know, they're not successful in doing that. So let's do that and seal them up in the cave. And the Malbim points out that he was about, again, you know, the Pasuk just said in Pasuk Tes Zayin, I'm sorry, in Pasuk Tesvav, that Yehoshua is on his way back to Gilgal, right? So the Malbim points out that he gets the message like mid-route kind of. He's on the way back to Gilgal, and the message comes to him that the kings are hidden in the cave. Yehoshua turns around, he changes course. He's like, okay, let's go. We're going back, and he goes back and he tells them, you know, hold on to these guys and tell them to keep them in the cave. Pasuk Yates, ve'atem al ta'amodu. He says, and you, presumably the messengers or the soldiers, don't just stand here. Ritfu acharei oyvechem v'zinavtem osam. And he says, listen, he says, whatever people are left, any soldiers that are left around, you know, get rid of them, destroy them, kill them. Al titnu lavo el areihem ki nesanam Hashem elokeichem biyedchem. Don't let them get home. Don't let them run away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them to us. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing us to be victorious. You know, they attack the Givonim, wipe them out, kill them. And many of the Mefarshim say here that it's an interesting language. Vizinavtem osam. What's vizinavtem osam mean? So zanav, the word zanav means a tail. So what's vizinavtem? You don't usually use that word as a verb, right? Usually it's a noun. It means a tail. So what is vizinavtem? So many of the Mefarshim say that this is, we're at the, so to speak, the tail end of the battle. I'm sorry?
Like the mop-up operations.
Exactly. Like the mop-up operations. You know, just wipe them out. Like finish things off here. You know, like vizinavtem, it's being used as a verb, you know, kind of like, you know, take the tail, mop it up, you know, get everything, just, you know, clean up the mess here. And then pasuk chaf, vayihi kechalos Yehoshua v'nei Yisrael ha'kosa maka gedol le'me'od ad tumam. Right, Yehoshua and Bnei Yisrael basically were finishing them off. ad tumam, a very strong language, like almost like they were done, like there were no more of them. And again, you know, we'll see this in a second. Hasridim sardu mehem. There were like very few survivors. Sridim are like the survivors. There were a couple of survivors still from this battle. Vayavo el arei hamivtzar. These survivors, a couple survivors made it out. It was okay, you know. You Jewish people, I guess, let the few survivors make it out. But by and large, they were totally wiped out. And then interestingly, vayashuvu. Pasuk Chafale Vayashuvu Chol Ha'am El Amachane El Yehoshua Makeda. So now the Jews set up a camp in Makeda. That's where this cave is, and everybody comes and joins Yehoshua. B'Shalom, they come in peace. Everybody's walking. You know, no one's causing them any problems. And interesting, Lo Charat Livnei Yisrael Ishes Lashona. You know, nobody, you know, said anything to the Jewish people as they're walking by. They're passing by all these, you know, Gentile cities, all the Gentile nations. You know, everybody sees the Jewish army and they look the other way. No, nobody wants to say anything. Nobody wants to mess with them. Everybody's now petrified of Yehoshua and the Jewish army. Also brings back, in the Mefarshim say, Lo Charat Kelev Lashona, Lo Yechrat Kelev Lashona. Right, that as we left Mitzrayim, right, the dogs, you know, the dogs didn't even bark at us. You know, as we left Mitzrayim, because everybody was so in awe of the Jewish people. So here too, similar idea, not the dogs, but the Gentiles. But nobody was saying anything. Nobody was saying boo to the Jews as they were walking by, because everybody was so scared. And the Mitzvah Das David says, that's why it says Laish, right? It says Livnei Yisrael Laish Es Lashono, even in the singular. Not one Jew, not one Jew was shepherd as they're walking with Yehoshua back to the back to Makeda, back to this camp. And then Pasuk Chaf Beis, Vayomer Yehoshua Pischu Es Pi Hama'ara. So here we have this traumatic moment. Yehoshua, they come to the cave, and Yehoshua says, "Okay, open the cave, right? Open the cave." They roll out the stones off the cave. V'hotziu Elias Chameshes Hamalachim Ha'ilam Min Hama'ara. Bring out the five kings. You know this is not going to be good. Right, the end is not going to be good here. It's not going to be pretty. Chaf Gimel. They bring them out. They bring them out of the cave. Esmelach Yerushalayim, Esmelach Hevron, Esmelach Yarmus, Esmelach Lachish, Esmelach Eglon. These were the five cities that these kings ruled over, which all came out to fight against the Givonim and were now defeated by Bnei Yisrael. Pasuk Chav Dalid. Vayihi kehotziyam es hamelachim. And when he brought out the kings, Yehoshua, when they brought out these kings to Yehoshua, Vayikra Yehoshua al kol ish Yisrael vayomer, so he called out to the entire Jewish army that was assembled there, vayomer al kitzinei anshei hamilchama, and then he brought the officers, kitzinei are like the officers, he called the officers forward, hehalchu, he told the ones that had come to him, that's an interesting word there, hehalchu, many of the mefarshim talk about it grammatically, there's an aleph at the end which seems to be extra, but it's for a little bit of a grammatical discussion. But the ones, the officers that had accompanied him, kirvu, come close, simu es raglechem al tzavri hamalochim ha'elah. So he made the malachim, he made these kings lie down, and he told the officers, step on their necks. Right, step on these kings. Vayikruvu vayasimu es raglechem al tzavrim, and they did that. So what's he doing? Right, why is he telling them to do this? So the Ralbag says that the point here was to instill even more fear, right? That when people hear that, oh my gosh, you know, Bnei Yisrael not only defeated these five nations, but then look what they did to the kings. These great, powerful kings were reduced to people stepping on them, humiliated in public, and people stepping on them. That'll instill even more fear in the nations. The Malbim says also that this was also symbolic. It wasn't just to instill fear, but it was also symbolic of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing the Jewish people to literally step all over their enemies, right? Just like you're stepping on the necks of these kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing you to just, you know, come into Eretz Yisrael and to defeat all of the nations. And interestingly, the Malbim says this was also for morale, right? This was also for morale, that when the army and the officers see the power that they now have over these kings, that'll increase their own courage. So not just the fear of the enemies and the other nations, but increase the courage of the Bnei Yisrael.
It says in Talmud a lot of times that, you know, these countries are going to be your wash bases for your feet.
Oh, right, exactly. Very similar point. And Pasuk Chafei Vayomer Alehem Yehoshua Al Tiru. So Yehoshua tells he's now giving a pep talk. You know, it's like a rally. He's giving a pep talk now to the army, and he says, "Don't be afraid. Don't be nervous. Don't be scared. Chizku ve'imtzu. Right? Have strength. Have courage. Everybody that you're going to fight, this is going to happen to. This is what's going to happen to everybody you're going to fight. Again, you're not fighting your own battle. You're fighting HaKadosh Baruch Hu's battle. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you all of these nations, just like we've defeated these five, and these kings are sitting here before us. And then, of course, Yehoshua finishes them off in Pasuk Chavav. Vayakem Yehoshua Acharecha. And after this rally and this pep talk, he kills the five kings. Vayamisein Vayislem Al Chamisha Eitzim. He hangs these five kings after he kills them. He hangs their bodies up on five trees. And he leaves them there until night. And again, the reason why he hangs them up was, again, as the Mefarshim say, to instill fear. Right? This was a public display of not only humiliation, but now, you know, instilling fear in the nations, in the surrounding nations. And look, this is what's going to happen if you mess with the Jews or their allies. This is what's going to happen to you. This was also instilling fear. And then Yehoshua commands them to be taken down. Pasuk Chav Zayin Vayihila Eis Bo Hashemesh. As the sun begins to set that day, Tziva Yehoshua Vayoridu Me'al Ha'etzim. So Yehoshua commands the people to take them down. Vayashlichu El Hama'ara Ashenech Be'usham. So how does he bury them? He buries them in a cave. Right? He throws them back into that cave, the cave that they hid in. He throws their bodies back into that cave. Vayasimu Avanim Gidalos Al Pi Hama'ara Aretzim Hayom Hazeh. And he rolls these big boulders in front of the cave, and the pasuk says they're there until today. And the Ma'arabad points out that this was like a monument. This was almost like a monument to remind Klal Yisrael and everybody else of the great nisim that happened with this war against the Amori nations. Okay, we'll stop here for tonight. Next week we'll continue with the rest of this perek.